Glory to God. All right, turn to a verse we've never looked at ever, not ever. Mark 11:23. The reason I'm doing this is because the way the Holy Spirit took the service, the second service this morning, because you know Dave had something else planned. And there's been a change in the level of attack. Most of you that's been around here for a while knows that. It's been going on for quite a while. And like Marvinus was busy teaching this morning, so she wasn't aware of it. So we prayed that same prayer a while ago that the Holy Spirit made available to the rest of us this morning. Because the enemy is coming in many ways and unusual ways and ways that we've not all encountered before, you know. Amen. And everything you can imagine. I mean, from sickness to marriages to vehicles breaking down to just, you know, just people talking ugly about you to just wake up and feel like it's hopeless and don't really know why. Just everything in the world. And by revelation this morning, the Holy Spirit just took over the service and says, you know, hey, let's call a line. Let's get everybody up and let's take authority over that now in Jesus' name. See? And so that's what happened. And then we did that a while ago. You got to take it to that place called done. Now, the most profound thing that I keep hearing in my ear, it's very simple, yet it's very profound what Dave said this morning. Just in passing, he said this. You know, if you had two people, and they were each in a separate, you know, just adjoining rooms, one was the President of the United States, whoever that might be at the time, and the other one was just Joe Plummer, just Joe Normal, just everyday guy in the other room, and they both got the same cold. You know, they got a cold. You know, the one that the Lord will heal is the one who believes it. Did you catch that? You don't get from God what you deserve. You get from God what you believe. God. Brother Gary, how can you say that? Mark 11:23, it says right here. Mark 11:23. Actually, 24. Look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, the Holy Spirit built a strong case before that prayer this morning. Dave was going through giving examples and all the different kinds of things that's been happening. The idea being, though, that once we do this prayer, you've got to leave it at the place called done. That's just another way of saying, did he hear your prayer? Now, Dave was using Peter's, cast the whole of your care upon the Lord because he careth for you. Get rid of all the reasons why God should bless you. In other words, Marvinus could say, well, God should bless me with whatever I'm asking him for because I teach Sunday school class. No, he's doing it because he cares for Marvinus. He does these things because he loves us. Because Jesus paid the price for it. That's why it's not based on your works. It's not based on your goodness or your badness. It's based on what do you believe. Now the enemy, he's only got one attack route. And that's the sense gate. Can I say that? You understand what I mean? The sense gate. What you see. What you feel. What, you know, emotions that just... I'd like to know how they do that. I'm not immune to that either. Go to bed just fine. Happy. Wake up the next morning. It's all hopeless. We're all going to die. You know? And don't know what happened. Didn't have bad dreams. I don't know how he does that, you know. Somehow they dangle in the emotions. That's why we have to be masters of our emotions, people. We cannot be creatures always dominated by emotions. I don't know how many times I've thought of it where Jesus, if he did not have mastery over his emotions. I mean, I can't imagine what he endured on the cross, you know, during that dark period where Isaiah prophesied. He saw it in the spirit and where every kind of sickness, every kind of disease was ravaging his body. He said his visage, his countenance was so marred. He didn't even look human anymore. He looked like some kind of meat hanging up there, you know. He couldn't tell what he was. Now, can you imagine if he was a slave to his emotions? What if halfway through that he said, that's it. Father, go ahead and send those angels. Get me down off of this cross and let them all go to hell. Yeah. He was tempted in every point like we are. Yet he had that nature of God on the inside of him that made him master of his emotions. And we have to be masters over ours. I don't care if your emotions, if the devil is throwing coal in the locomotive, you know, heating those emotions up, man, running wild like a freight train. You are the captain of your train. The way Dave was saying that today, the devil can't really stop you. God won't stop you because he won't override your free will. Plus, he can't go against his own word. The only person that's big enough to stop any of us is us. I always remember that cartoon I saw in Pogo when I was a little kid. We have met the enemy, and he is us. And it's the truth. Amen, amen. Now, combining a little bit with last week, I was talking about that book, they told me their stories. It was about eyewitness accounts of the Azusa Street Revival. I still can't get that out of my mind. I keep picturing that cloud, that what they call the Shekinah glory, that stayed there 24 hours a day for about 4 years. And it was not in vision form. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying he would see it roll in sometimes, but nobody else would see it. It was a vision to him. This wasn't that. This was the tangible, a mist. Children would play in it. You could run your fingers through it, and it would like roll like, you know. Some days it was knee high. Some days it was fill the whole room. Some days it was so thick you couldn't see across the room. And whether or not that's the actual, if that's the Holy Spirit, I don't know. But you'd have to say it's at least a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You know, so the tangible presence of God to heal for sure was right there. Now just get that, where you can walk through it, lay down in it. They would lay down in it and breathe it into their lungs, you know. They said it was like pure oxygen. Thank you. It was like pure oxygen. You just, like, you know. Yet the thing that astounds me, the lame and the halt and the blind could walk right into that cloud. They did. Sit down in it. Breathe it into their lungs. But that alone was not enough to get them healed. Somebody still had to pray. Somebody still had to believe. Somebody had to use the name of Jesus. It is, you don't get from God what you deserve. You get from God what you believe. That's why these verses right here are so important. They always will be the primary definition of faith. Let's look at both of them now. Hallelujah. Marvinus, that prayer was answered. Amen. Amen. Verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Well, how do you do it? Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he believeth, which he saith, see? Believing has two parts. Faith has two parts. Believe in the heart, say with the mouth. So let me read it the real way. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I'm just rolling that whole book over in my mind all the time. I'm just rolling it over. How those young people did that. They were 17, 18 years old, not a theologian in the bunch. Now, they'd been sitting listening to the messages of Seymour, and so they had faith. They understood what faith was. For one thing, any time when somebody would come in a wheelchair, Miss Carnes, Nady Lady Carney? Carney. She's kind of the leader of the bunch. She'd go over there, and you know how wheelchairs have footrests? She'd go over there and she'd take their feet and flap up those footrests so they'd be able to walk out of that chair. Now, a lot of people do something like that trying to have faith. That's why it fails. She was doing it because she knew they were going to get healed. And they can't stand up with those footrests in the way. See? You know? You got to build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But the point tonight is, you have to believe. Now, I teach this stuff, and I've been teaching this stuff, okay? I've been teaching this, the power of confession and the power of speaking it. I've taught it so many times that I may be overbalanced on it. I teach on it all the time and have for over 20 years. Still yet myself, Sue had to catch me about 3 years ago. The enemy was attacking my spine, my back, my hips. And because it came on me real gradual, I just never caught it as an attack. And that's a big part of the problem. You just get to thinking, well, it's just normal. I'm getting older, you know. And so I've just, on that issue, now I've won a lot of battles on a lot of different things because I recognized it as being an attack. But I didn't on that one. And so, now here I counsel other people. I do emails. I send out these tapes and everything. Me, myself, on that one, here I'm walking more and more like this. Those of you that was coming then, you know, one time I had to preach from a chair. I couldn't stand up long enough to do the service. I still say better to preach from a chair than not preach at all. It's not going to stop me. Okay. But still yet. And Sue, bless her heart, she had to come and, you know, with respect and with love, not in some kind of, you know, I'm the boss kind of way. She just told me straight, said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil's going to put you in a wheelchair and take away the whole rest of your ministry. And it was like slapping me across the face with a wet washcloth. Made me mad for a minute, going, hey, I teach this stuff. But the point is, just knowing it isn't what gets it done. How many of us, see, if I could be that invisible guy with the invisible tape recorder and follow everybody around for a week, I just wonder, if do you need a finger pointed at your nose? What are you saying? How much are you agreeing with the circumstances? How much faith is really coming out of your mouth, calling those things that be not as though they were? See? Thank God that Dave, 10 years ago or so, had to start doing these calling in the lost sessions. Because there's not many places you can go on planet Earth and have somebody train you for 45 minutes, sit you down, and let you practice calling things that be not as though they were. That's just not normal. The whole world system is based on tell it like it is. You know? Call what is what is. You don't need to call what is, it already is. You need to call those things that be not as though they were, until they is. Bad English, but it makes... And that's exactly what I... And you know the thing of it is? The teacher of faith, the teacher of confession, the guy who's taught this for years, I'm sitting there going, I hate it, but she's right. I didn't really say that, but you know, part of me... She's right. And I had to start doing exactly that same thing. I had to start speaking out loud to my body. I had to start talking. How many of you... You need to talk to your back. Some of you need to talk to your wallet. Need to speak to your bank account. Need to speak God's word over your children. Speak God's word over your business. Start calling those things. And so here I was, me myself. Just because I know it, just because I had 100 tapes on the power of it, just because I've counseled 1,000 people probably over the years about the power of confession, just because I know all that, like breathing in the atmosphere, just because I knew it, the power of the Holy Ghost was there the whole time, but I was not giving Him what He needs to release His power. I think about that mist in that room 24 hours a day. You talk about the power of God, that what they call the Shekinah glory. You talk about the power, just the pulsating power of God to heal. And they could walk literally into it and still not get healed. Till somebody says, in the name. Or somebody says, rise, stand up and walk. Or somebody says, I command that deaf and dumb spirit come out of you in Jesus' name. And only then did the Holy Spirit release that power and the manifestation happened. In my case, I had to start speaking the word of God over my body. I says, first off, I prayed for crop failure. Oh, yeah. Because I've been sowing the wrong seeds for a long time. Just telling it like it is. Oh, my back is killing me. If my hips keep getting worse, I'm going to have a hip replacement. And the more I talked that way, the more I had what I was saying. I mean, and I was getting more stooped over and have a harder time standing. I had to start just doing exactly what the Word says. The Lord blesses my bread, blesses my water, removes sickness away from the midst of me. By His stripes I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. Back, I command you to be strong in Jesus' name. I speak to my hip sockets. You are strong in Jesus' name. I rebuke pain. Doing all that, walking over like this, I mean, the circumstances were bad. And actually, from the moment that I started doing that, and this is nearly always the case, it got worse. You've got a ship with a lot of momentum going in a certain direction. You remember when James said, how a great matter a little fire kindleth? It's like the helmsman of a great ship, you know? I picture a ship like the Queen Mary. I don't know what he was picturing, but picture a big ship. It's been going this way a long time. And let's say this is the wrong way. This is Gary getting worse. And I've been just agreeing with it. And so, you know, my circumstances, my back kept getting worse. And then Sue, right here in time, represents where Sue says, change what you're saying. So I change what I'm saying. I change the rudder on the ship. But the trouble is, you don't turn the Queen Mary on a dime. And that thing's still going, man. Even though it's turning, I'm worse now here than I was when I started. But my job is to keep the rudder set. Keep holding fast to what I say. If I keep saying what God says, that ship eventually will turn around and I'll start coming back. And that's exactly what happened. I'm leaving in the morning for a 3-day ministry trip to Nashville. Glory to God. Couldn't have done that. If I'd have kept on going down at the rate I was going down, it'd already be over. It'd already be over. Hallelujah. Now this preach is real good. Now Aaron over here, Aaron writes books on confessions. I've read his books. I've even got a little endorsement in one of them. Aaron, does it work for you because you write the book?
No.
Does it work for you because you understand it?
No.
Does it work for you when you do it?
Yes.
That's the only time that it works. And I still think it would be a little good for everybody. I wish there was a way to do this. Follow you around invisibly with a tape recorder. Have an angel assigned, you know. Yes. Follow you around for 1 week and just play back for you everything that you said for 1 week. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yep. You want to find out what somebody really believes? It's not during the time that you're counseling them. When you find out what they really believe is when they're just sitting around talking with their friends. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. See, and I like this too. I like what Dave says about this too. You know, God's in the prayer answering business, you know. But the truth of it is, He's not really answering the prayer of the person that we show up in church as. Every prayer you get answered, He's answering that guy at home. That lady at home. And we go, ooh. No, He wouldn't answer that prayer. He careth for you. He loves you right where you are, with, you know, warts and all, with your faults. Now he's trying to clean us all up. He is trying to perfect us, mold us, and transform us more and more into the image of Christ. But that certainly doesn't mean He doesn't love you right where you are. I don't know about you, but that gives me great hope. Thank God forever. It gives me great hope. Yes, sir. Okay. Now, why would the enemy be turning up the heater? Why would the warfare be stronger? We're getting closer. We've had prophecy after prophecy. If you've been listening to those prophecies from 2007, more than once, the Holy Spirit said something like this: you're closer to the signs and wonders revival than you think you are. You're getting very close. Sure, what would you do if you was the enemy? And you saw him getting close now to the prize of what we've been pressing for all these years. Wouldn't you turn up the heat? in every way that you can. Somebody ought to write this one down. The first step to victory, recognize you're under attack. His job is to make you think he's not real. Mm-hmm. And that what you're going through is just normal.
Yeah.
No, it's not just normal. And he is real.
Mm-hmm.
And those emotions of yours are getting some help being the way they're being. Sue and I'll just go ahead and tell you this. Y'all know that Sue and I have a pretty good thing going on. Can you tell?
Yeah.
You know, we've got a good relationship and have had, you know, I started carrying her books in the 8th grade. I'm 61. I'm still carrying them now, okay? All right. I want you to know, during the last year, we had something happen that lasted for months until we recognized we were under attack. We didn't understand it. I would say something, and she would... How do I say this? She would not react in a manner that was in accordance to what I said. And what was funny, she'd say something to me, and apparently I would react. We didn't even notice. I mean, at first we didn't even think about it being any kind of attack in the home. Let me say it this way. It took, I don't know, it was just the difference. There was a different atmosphere in the house, and it lasted, I hate to say this part, for several months. And we were working at keeping strife out of the house, and that's not normal for us. It may be normal for a lot of people. But I'll just tell you, it's not normal for us. Our house is usually really a house of peace. And it just seemed like this constant miscommunication. Let me say it that way, okay? Well, months go by, and even though we was really, really both of us being careful, it just kept happening. So we actually started comparing notes. Said, what did you hear me say? Well, I heard you say this. I did not say those words. She said, what did you hear me say? I heard you say this. She said, I did not say those words. Well, what did you say? There was some kind of enemy in our house. Some kind, I don't know. From the time that words would leave one of our mouths, somehow they get twisted by the time they reach the other person's ears. She was literally hearing different words than I was speaking. And the same thing was happening with me. And we didn't know it for a long time. So we're going like, you know, that's just, we're not rocket scientists. That's not normal. And it dawned on us. Duh. There might be an enemy here. From the day we took authority over it, the atmosphere changed. We agreed in prayer. We joined hands together and said, we can't see you, but we know you're here. What, you enemy from hell that's been assigned to disrupt our marriage and cause strife in this house, we take authority over you now in the name of Jesus. Get out. Your assignment here is over. Now, I'll tell you, it got better. We could tell a change right away, but the thing kept coming back. You know, that devil that harassed Jesus in the wilderness? One of the translations says at the end of it says he left him till a more opportune time. In other words, that thing was going to come around and try him again later. Well, we had to take authority over it. We had to keep recognizing it for a period of several weeks. And finally, it ended. Now, that was a real onslaught of the enemy. It was a real attack. And it's a shame that we were so blind it took months for us to finally go, duh. Perhaps we should take authority over this. So that's why I'm saying one of the first keys to victory, recognize you're under attack. I mean, the enemy is set on stopping each and every one of you, not just Dave, not just Tim, not just Gary, not just Daisy. Every single one of you, the enemy, and he doesn't care what it is to take you out as long as he takes you out. Whether it's through your kids, whether it's through your finances, whether it's through strife, whether it's through an offense, whether it's through... He doesn't care, just so long as it takes you out. What I mean by that, you give up on pressing towards this vision. You know, hallelujah. All right, back to Mark 11. Back to Mark 11. See, now here's the thing. I've been at this a long time. Okay, I'll just do it like Sue did me. I'm pointing at you. If you don't change what you're saying, your house isn't going to change. Your finances aren't going to change. What you're believing for isn't going to change. You've got to change what you're saying. Faith has two parts. Yes, sir. In our house, yes, sir. I just saw the vision of this, so I'm going to teach it. I hadn't even had this thought before now. During that period of time where that strife was in our house, let's just say for teaching purposes, because I saw it this way. Now there's some kind of devil working, maybe more than one. Maybe there's a whole, I don't know, there might have been 100 of them. Working, trying to bust me and Sue up. They're trying to create strife, just whatever. And this is what I saw in that little vision, just real quick. What if the Shekinah glory had been there? Might have been, for all I know. I didn't see it. But even if it had been there where you could walk through it, those devils still could have been doing what they were doing until we took authority over it. Do you think, see that? Just the same way that that's your kind of glory, the power was present to heal there in Azusa Street, where you could even see it, run your fingers through it. I mean, when you've got the tangible presence there that strong, but still the power wasn't released till somebody spoke and somebody believed, somebody declared the name of Jesus. So it's not just, I mean, you may be pleasing God so much, His own Shekinah glory may be there and you just can't see it. That still won't stop the enemy until you take authority over it in Jesus' name. We keep, how was it God said that to Charles Capps? God says, Charles, I keep telling my people to speak to the mountain, but all they want to do is talk to me about the mountain. And they want to talk to their neighbors about how big their mountain is. But I can't get any of them to speak to the mountain. Yet what it says is, you speak to the mountain, and in faith, it will obey you. Amen? Yes, sir. I keep hearing him say, they're not going to change. Just hearing this, you've heard it so many times. Well, what do I do about it? No, I'm asking him, not you. Just... Well, he said the thing that got me to change was a vision of me in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. It's up to you, really. How are you liking the way it's been, you know? How's that, what's that Dr. Phil says? How's it been working for you? How's not calling things that be not as though they were? How's that been working for you? Overhealed and prosperous and... You know, abundant power and everything working, you know.
Yeah, I receive that.
What he's trying, you've got to change on purpose. Change doesn't happen by accident. Change has got to be on purpose. If somehow I don't convey to you that before your head hits the pillow tonight, you need to write down something. Make some kind of plan. Get two or three verses or something that applies to your case. And start speaking those before your head hits the pillow tonight. Start. If you don't do something like that by the morning, the devil of same old will have done it again. Just same old, same old. That's the biggest devil the biggest that he's got. Just same old, same old. Fall back into the same old pattern, the same old rut, same old every day. Day in, day out, nothing changes except it gets worse. And need a counseling session. I'm not against counseling. Well, in a way, no, I'm not. You know what counseling normally is for the first hour? Listening to all the reasons why it won't work. And why your problems are different from everybody else's. And I'm sitting there going, I heard this same problem 9 times this week. And the same God that answered the other people, He'll answer you too.
Amen.
But the Shekinah glory can be so thick you can't stand up under it. And your life won't change till you do something with your mouth. Amen. How's that? Oh, Dave's death and life. Where is that power? It's in the power of the tongue. It's in the power of the tongue. You have what you say on a consistent basis. All right, one more time. One more time. Hallelujah. I'm working hard, I can tell then. For benefit of the message here, I've got my sweat rag going tonight. Hallelujah. Now, verses, I don't want to leave verses 25 and 26 out, but I don't want to teach on that so much tonight. But listen, anywhere you find Jesus teaching on faith, hand in hand, right at the same time, He's going to be talking about forgiveness. So let's read the whole thing at least once through here. Starting in verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now we could teach at length on all those things, but you've already been through that. You already know those things. But and when you stand praying. So I mean right at the same time now, forgive if you have aught against any. And you might as well know this. If you're not willing to do that, just forget the two verses above it. Just forget it. When you stand praying, forgive. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. He does. And Jesus already paid for it. You have no right. You have no right to stand in His blood and hold judgment against them when He already died for that. That's why it negates faith. You're being a judge against His blood. I mean, you cannot operate faith and be in unforgiveness. You're standing in the blood of Jesus declaring judgment on somebody for crying out loud. When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. There's nothing that'll violate faith like unforgiveness. But we've taught on that too. And you say, well, I have a hard time. I did too. You've heard me teach you. I'm not going to reteach that again. All He's saying, be willing to be made willing, okay? I'll just tell you that part. He'll teach you how to do it. I'm telling you, there is no hurt in you that cannot be healed. I am a living witness now. I mean, I could teach that again, but you already heard me do it too many times. Just be willing to be made. Do what He says in His Word about it. Pray for them. Do good to them. Ask God to bless them. Even if you're not willing to, you know, even if it's not from the heart at the beginning, if you just do it by obedience, He'll turn your heart. He'll start giving you just a little bit of His love for them. You start seeing them through His eyes. See, right now I'm praying. I don't think I'll get in trouble. I'm praying for Oprah Winfrey. She has become the high priestess of a cult. She is the high priestess in this nation right now. She wouldn't agree with these words, what I'm saying, but it's true anyway. She is the number one endorser of the New Age. I just watched her on YouTube a while ago deny that Jesus is the only way to salvation. The only way to God. I mean, just blatantly deny it. And you know. So, I'm praying for Oprah. Yeah. Oprah's got a, you know, she's done a lot of good for a lot of people. I want her to change. You know, she's not doing anything. She doesn't think she's doing anything harmful, but she has no idea the people she's going to lead into hell with that. And she would never believe it right now. We need to pray that she will believe it.
Yes,
see? Amen. Like Dave says, we'd rather stop Osama with the gospel than with a bullet.
Amen.
Now, he needs to be stopped one way or the other. But I'd rather, I mean, he has got the same kind of nature, really, as the Apostle Paul when he was still Saul.
Yes.
Saul was out killing Christians because he thought they were wrong. He's got that same kind of nature. And if Osama would actually get saved and think about it, baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, He could have more impact on the whole Muslim world than all of us, you know, put together. That's why forgiveness goes hand in hand with the gospel. Hallelujah. Well, now, I'm not saying this to get people to stay and do the confessions. I know people have to leave. I understand all that. But I am saying this. I don't ever leave.
Yes.
Of course, I'm leading the confessions. But I'm telling you, it's good for me. It's good for me. I do them more than just here. Why? It's good for me to call those things that be not as though they were. Not many places you go can you get practice doing this. Now, and if you need to go, go. I understand that. But I'm just saying, it's an opportunity. You only get one or two opportunities a week. At least two a week, I guess. To sit and just for, you know, we're usually through by 8:20. Calling those things that be not as though they were. It's good practice.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, this third time I've seen this other little vision. I'm going to tell you and then we'll start the confessions. I'm going to remind you of something that I ran across the graph again the other day when I was preparing our taxes. This incident occurred quite a few years ago at the Ugly Building. And y'all know that I keep a ring binder of my petitions. And if I make a petition like this, asking for anything, then I date it, I write down what I ask for, and I believe I receive it right then. And then I thank God for it. I never ask Him again. I act like He heard me the first time. But I do thank Him for it every day. And I, you know, there's always things in this ring binder. When they get answered, then I write down that date, how it came, and I put that in another section called testimonies. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of my preaching material that I do, you know. One day I was going through there, one of my confessions, I always have a confession. I thank You, Lord, that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of, and then there's a dollar amount, you know, Zama amount. It's changed over the years. Every month for the work of the gospel that You've called us to. I thank You, Lord, that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of a certain amount of dollars. I was just going through that part of my daily routine and the Holy Ghost just spoke as clear as you're hearing my voice right now. I heard Him say, raise that amount by $4,000. I always like to ask this question at this point. How many of you would like for God to increase your monthly income by $4,000? Can I see your hands? Okay.
Yeah.
Now see, would you still feel that way if not one penny of it was for you?
Yeah.
Because that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about pound and provision. This was all pound. He knew something was coming that I didn't know that was going to need the money. So I did. I've still got the page where I X'd it out, the amount that I was saying, and I just increased it by 4,000. From that day forward, when I'd come to that place in my ring binder, I'd say, Father, I thank You that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of, and it was that the amount I used to say, plus $4,000. And nothing changed immediately. In fact, the rest of that month, nothing changed. Nothing really changed the next month as far as our income. I've got this plotted on a graph. Starting the next month, boom, actually went up $6,000. The next month, it wobbled a little bit, but over the next year, the average was $4,400 more. $4,400. And I didn't do anything in the natural to make that happen. We didn't like send out a special letter. We didn't, you know, no little Bibles laid in the footprints of Jesus. And I wasn't cutting up no sweaty shirts, you know, or anything like that, you know. I didn't do anything. Boy, and I look at that every night, and I keep all that. I look at that graph even today, and I look at it again, and I go, man, if that is not a graphic demonstration of the power of the spoken word, how the Holy Spirit Himself, if you'll listen, will counsel you what to say. Because He knew something I didn't know, that 2 months, 3 months down the road, our ministry was going to change. We were taking, up until that time, the prayer center was helping us with nearly all of our tape duplication and stuff. And the Holy Spirit said, it's time to switch that over, bring it in-house. Guess how much that averaged over the next year? $4,000 a month. $4,000. We had to buy tape duplicators in those days. It was $2,500 a piece. You know? There was a period of time where our postage every month, just the postage, was $4,000 a month. Why does it get so quiet? But He was the one that told us to do it. Now, He's bringing that back because the power of the spoken word. the power of the spoken word. The Holy Spirit works hand in hand. That cloud in that Azusa Street. Man, I keep seeing that picture in my mind. I'm wondering. See, I keep seeing it in Fred's house, and I keep seeing it in your house, in Aaron's house. I'm going, I wonder if that cloud... Well, he is, because he's there, see? You may not see the cloud, but that the Holy Spirit is just as present. What is keeping him from doing all that's in the mind of Christ to do? It's the power of the spoken word. We've got to change what we say. All right, I'm done. That's it. Do it before your head hits the pillow tonight. Make some kind of change before your head hits the pillow tonight. Write out something. Find a verse. Something that applies to your case. If we don't do it on purpose, it's not going to happen. Yes. All right. Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah? Okay. How'd y'all like that $4,000 a month thing? Yes. See, right now, if he'd say to you what he said to me, now, he didn't start me out at that $4,000 a month level. He said, start a little Bible study. Mm-hmm. And make the cassettes free. We had $10. That was the seed, if you want to call it seed, that was the beginning. But obeying him, I went to the same audio cassette place that supplied Rhema at that time. The guy in front of me ordered, I forget how many thousands of tapes. And I'm sitting, I walk up behind him and says, how many will $10 buy? How many can I buy for $10? Because that was it. But now see, the thing of it is, little by little by little, he probably won't come to you and say, just over, you know, this was after we'd been at it for a while. But see that, right now if you just say, okay, Danny, I want you to start paying the postage on this, and I want you to start, it's only going to be $4,000 a month. That's okay, Danny, right? Danny's not saying a thing. Y'all notice Danny is not saying a thing. See, see, that's why it's called faith. Yes. It's a big God. Yes. He can do anything. But he needs our cooperation. Yes. It may begin with $10, okay? Yes. But there's no telling what he's going to ask you to do. Jimmy Miller and I, we always say, now we're going to start a Bible school, and the name of the school is going to be God. You said what? Because usually that's the first reaction to when you really start hearing him and what he's called you to do. Because it's always going to look impossible, especially in the realm of finances. You do it anyway. That wonderful verse that we all love to quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you look it up in Philippians 4, it's right in the middle of Paul talking about finances. Whether you send the money, whether you don't send the money, it's good that you sent the money, but whether you send it or whether you don't, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm still going to get it done. Hallelujah. Oh, you think he was hard on me? He wasn't hard on me at all. You know what he told Pastor Bronk Flint? See, Bronk, before he became a pastor, now he's in Immokalee. Just so you know, Immokalee is kind of a... People that live in that area don't think much of Immokalee. I mean, you know, we're close to Naples, and we're close to Fort Myers, so it's a very wealthy region, but that little town is inland. It's not on the coast, and it's where the pickers live, you know, and so the people, they don't, you know, Immokalee, you know. But before God called him to pastor there, he was in business with his father was in the construction business, and Bronk was in the construction business, and they had built themselves a nice house, him and Candy, and they're just going along, you know, and everything's going good. And then God, he starts doing this message, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost. God says, well, I want you to pastor a little church down in Immokalee. And he says, well, Lord, I'm not really against that, but it would take me quite a while, you know. Well, why do you say that? Well, I've got this business that I'm running. I've got employees and everything, and I mean, I would have to do something with the business. We've got this big house, you know. And God says, well, you know, your dad could use that business. You could just give your business to your dad. Oh. No profit or anything. No, just give the business to your dad. And what about this big house? We just built this big house here in Fort Myers. Oh, well, you know, your certain friend, you know, that he would like that house. You could just give your equity to him. And he could just refinance it with that equity. And you can be in Immokalee in a week. And they did.
Amen.
That's my kind of people.
Amen.
You know? Multi-million-dollar construction business and a real nice house. God wants me to pastor this little bitty church in Immokalee. Give the business away. Give the equity in the house away. And go pastor. I thought he was mean to me. No. He just wanted my living room. I didn't even have to move. Anyway. Mine was easy. By comparison, mine was easy. You know. Hallelujah.